This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I won't be here for a Bronze Therapy Monday, and you may need it.
Oh, come on. Come on. You haven't even snapped the ball, and you're already down this road?
We'll go down that road in a little bit.
You're already going. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. The ball hasn't even been snapped.
Nobody knows the roster I've seen in about 3 weeks because the roster may look completely different. Let's be honest. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Please be wrong.
Great win for the Guardians last night. Really, I mean, let's face it. It was a great win. You know, you were worried. I was worried. Excuse me. They take the lead. You're like, oh, man, they're not going to win this. And you were hanging by the edge of your seat. And by the way, that's just good, entertaining baseball. I think the whole series has been good. Thank goodness we didn't have to watch another shutout, though. Either way, I like when teams score. I don't even care if it's not the Guardians or team I'm rooting for at that time. But, you know, I can't stand watching shutout after shutout after shutout unless you've got your ace on the hill. And so, you know, we sit here and we're I'm sure when, what was it, 20 innings they went without scoring a run? 20 innings without scoring a run? Something like that.
Check out.
Yeah.
That would check out.
I mean, it was brutal. They couldn't catch a break. And you talk about, you know, like, you know, lining out to guys and just guys being in the right spot. Now, I don't know. I mean, you can say, you said early in the show that that was luck.
Yeah.
I don't know that's necessarily luck. If you do your research and, you know, I hate to agree with the analytics here, you know the exact spot to stand in.
Right. They stand there for a reason. You're 100% right. And they're shifted that direction for a reason. But usually, and I'm not breaking news to anybody when it comes from coach pitch to high school ball to everywhere in between to any level that all of us played. If you hit the ball hard, typically you are rewarded for that. And what was happening, at least in the last game, they had some hard hit balls in game three. They just happened to be people's gloves. I mean, that David Fry hit a screamer in game three that, like, let's face it, if the third baseman wasn't standing there.
Yeah, Vierling was playing third base on it.
Yeah, if he wasn't standing there, that's a double that drives in two runs, and we're having a different conversation about game three. Like, that's the kind of stuff you're talking about when you're saying bad luck. And they ran into that bad luck, and in this game, it evened out. You had a lot of those balls drop. You had a couple of them end up over the fence. You had you were rewarded for continuing to hit hard baseballs. That's the whole thing with this. Like, game three, you got outmanaged and you had bad luck. And it's a bad combination when that happens. Game four, you hit well and you controlled that entire game. And you didn't exactly spend the entire time going, okay, well, maybe we're going to get duped again. So what happens if we get duped with a starting pitcher that only goes an inning this time? Like, no, you just went, here's my lineup. We'll play the platoons as we go. But we're going to make sure that the guys who are starting, and we're not going to make any move that's panicky where we're pulling guys before they even get an at-bat.
Right, he pulled Manzardo at the right time last night. Right, that's so, and you're able to overcome that when Kwan's going 3-for-5, scoring two runs, when your 7 and 8 hitter are 0-for-8 between the Jimenez and then Naylor with and Hedges. Now, I mean, no one was expecting anything from Hedges when he went up there at the end, but, you know, so you sit here and you're like, okay, you can overcome those issues when the top of the order is doing what they did yesterday. And he pulled the trigger at the right time on Manzardo. You know, watching in game three, I was like, this is insane. I mean, he was making the move so early in the game. He got sucked into the starting pitching that went, you know, one inning, and then they turned the page. So they it's going to take time. I mean, part of that of being a rookie manager is being a rookie manager, and you're going to make mistakes. And if I was sitting here 24 hours ago, which I wasn't, unfortunately, because I didn't feel good, but if I was sitting here 24 hours ago, I'd be like, you just can't do that. And there's enough older guys around him that, you know, you got to look around and go, maybe we're doing this. Or unless he got the directive before the game from the front office, is like, well, you know what, you know, you don't have to, you can take Manzardo out as quick as you need to. And Freeman didn't even, didn't get to hit, or Brennan didn't get to hit, right, in game three. And so you're like, I don't understand. Like, why would you make a lineup like that? Just, it doesn't matter. We get so hung up in this righty-lefty thing. We always do at every level. I get it. There's a time when it's right. But I just, like, 2 days ago, I didn't get it. And I don't want to sit here and complain about 2 days ago. Exactly. I want to talk about tomorrow.
Exactly.
So, I mean, part of it is just, it's growing pains. It's growing pains. I didn't realize last night until the end of the game that they had lost 11 straight deciding games.
Yeah, so
going back to the World Series. Game six of the World Series was the last time that they won a game that, you know, elimination games, I should say.
Yeah.
That they weren't eliminated. That's insane.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's just absolutely nuts. Look, this game, if you are a Guardians fan, this game is what you want. The only thing in this game that you look at and you bite your fingernails a little bit on would be Clase giving up that loud double and having it come in at the end. That's the only thing that you're looking at if you're a Guards fan and going, okay. But if you're a Guards fan, you're looking at this and going, all right, Jose Romero's got a bomb in this game. Hopefully this starts something of him getting on a bit of a hot streak that could help. Stephen Kwan continued to hit really well. Lane Thomas has been a revelation in this series. Brian Rocchio has been awesome in this series. You've had enough guys that have stepped up in between, but more than anything, you got to Bo Brisky in this game, which was their ace in the hole that they were going to. Anytime they needed an out, they were bringing Brisky in. You got to him. So if that means you're seeing him enough times, you might be able to figure that guy out. And that's how these series go into playoffs, is the more you see these bullpen arms, the more you pick up on tendencies.
Well, you got guys going, you know, four games in a row.
You know, that, you too. Can't.
So, that too. And I thought that was a good point last night they brought up during the broadcast. By the way, since we know Brian Anderson, the other Brian Anderson, I wasn't being as critical, but everybody in my house is like, man, he really wants the Tigers to win this game. Listen to how excited he is when the Tigers are doing this or doing that. I'm like, it's not Brian Anderson. He's just calling the game.
Right.
And he's got to be excited no matter what team it is.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there were folks. I'm sitting here listening to my wife and my son, and they were like, he doesn't want us to win. And I'm like, stop it.
No.
Stop. He doesn't care. He gets paid the same no matter who wins.
Exactly.
His job is to bring energy and information to the game. I thought those guys did an okay job last night. I thought they were good. But, you know, when you win, it gets better. The other thing, too, is the intensity of a play-by-play guy and a color guy, it's enhanced by the background noise, right? Like, Hammy could make someone walking across the street sound exciting, let's be honest. But when you're listening to a national guy who doesn't have either side to, you know, they're just, I don't know, he did a good job. But I like, as I was listening to them complain last night, I was like, I'm sure they're not the only ones doing this. Because I was having Joe Buck, Kyle Schwarber flashbacks. While they were saying that. Now, I mean, the Schwarber story during the World Series was just over the top. I mean, it was, you were right on that one. So, all right, so they win last night 5-4. Dan, where do you think they go from here? Where are we going? I mean, it's going to be anyone who has an arm can pitch.
Pretty much,
you're going up against the best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
There's a lot of little nuances to this game.
They might be without Kerry Carpenter in this game, which is a big deal. I mean, that's probably their second best stick in the lineup right now. So that could be a big deal in this one. You're starting to get some hits off of some of their guys in the pen because you've seen them for 5 days now, and you can scout them, and you've got an understanding of what's going to happen. They can say the same thing about the guards. I mean, Cade Smith got knocked around a little bit yesterday. That guy's been nails the entire season. Now all of a sudden he's getting knocked around a bit. So what happens, you see a guy four times in a row. So it goes both ways. You don't feel great that it's Skubal. This will be the third time that you have seen Skubal this season, which feels super low for an AL Central pitcher. Like, the fact that if I would have told you Tarek Skubal has been pitching for the Tigers since the beginning of the season, and you only saw him once during the regular season, and the second time was game two.
Well, that's the difference.
You would have thought I was nuts.
But that's the difference when they went to the schedule now where you play everybody in the National League and you cut it back to 13 against the Central. So it used to be, right, you'd play 17 times against these teams, and therefore you probably would hit them a fourth time, maybe even a fifth time, depending on how the schedule lays out. So I'm not surprised by that. In fact, I kind of like that. I don't have a problem with it at all. I'm not worried about it. Why? I mean, should I be worried about Skubal?
I mean,
I'm not sweating
it. Guy's best arm in baseball.
Yeah, but you know what?
You should have a level of reservation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a respect thing. Like, I respect him. I think he's the best pitcher, best starter in baseball. But I also think, or at least in the American League, I think he's, you know, he's sitting there and he's a guy that you had 10 hits off of. You just got to get the right patterns, right? You got to be able to drive guys in. You need Kwan to have another, you know, 2-3 hit night. You need Rocchio to be able to come through at the bottom of the order. It would be nice just to get one hit out of the 7 or 8 spot.
Yes.
Just one. I'm not asking for a ton. You know, Manzardo gave you a hit last night. Everybody gave you hits except for that 7-8 spot last night. You know, Thomas, man, we were so down on him there for a little while, but he's really turned around.
And has been loud and has been hitting the ball well ever since then. It's game five. It's in your building. It's the best pitcher in baseball. And you got to have it. I mean, that's it. That's where all this is. Everybody's probably on the table to come into this game and pitch. My guess would be they start Matt Boyd. Okay, let's go. You threw decently in game two. Let's see what it looks like in game five. I think that's the direction they're going to go. I bet Matthew Boyd will be on a short leash, and you're going to see
everyone
all of those guys.
Everybody is.
I wonder if you're going to see I wonder if you see, like, maybe you can't go by me, maybe an Alex Cobb out of the bullpen if you need an inning or two innings out of him that way, which I think might be a stretch. Alex Cobb doesn't feel like the kind of guy you should bring out of the bullpen, especially with that bullpen. But it's going to be fun. This is going to be a serious nail bite fun game. I'm excited already.
All right. We want to talk to you about it. Why don't you hop on in? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Plus, you've got a little bit of a dilemma tomorrow night, too. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit down the road. Brian Anderson is going to join us at noon. Tim May at 1 o'clock. And again, quick predicts will be both the Browns and the Guardians game tomorrow. So stand by. We watch your input. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Do you fear Scoobal tomorrow? I don't. The biggest thing that happened last night was the Guardians' ability to remember that they could score runs. That to score that run in the first inning was gigantic. Do I wish they would have got more? Yes. Do I wish they would have got more early on in the game? Yes. But it didn't matter because when it was all said and done, they got enough runs to win. And tell me you were like, wow, you couldn't believe the, you know what, out of the Guardians when they decided they were going to safety steal with a runner at third base. Like, I'm shocked, especially knowing that well, there was only one out.
With the guy who hit a home run.
That's
his
the
last
other part
at
of it,
bat.
Too. Yeah. I mean, that was Jake Taylor right there, right? Pointing to the outfield. That's the first thing I thought of. And I was like, I can't. It's safe. I was just like, oh, no. It's safe.
It was a what the are you doing, you genius? Like, it was just like one of those moments.
Because you know the phone lines would be packed right now if for some reason they didn't score.
Oh, gosh.
Tied, extra innings, loss. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't even want to be here today.
If that isn't proof of how results-based all of this stuff is, I give up. Because that play is, that is the knife's edge of it. If he was out in there, and then whatever was happening there, we would be screaming at Stephen Vogt right now and losing our minds.
I got to be honest. What are the analytics on that? You know what I'm saying? Like, What were the percentages? I can't believe that was a high percentage play.
Oh, no. I mean, analytical baseball would tell you to never bunt for an out. Like,
wasn't bunting for an out.
Well, right. But that's, especially with a guy like David Fry, who's not exactly known for being fleet of foot. Like, if a Steven Kwan were to lay down a bunt, if Jose Ramirez were to lay down a bunt, if, you know, you could pick the guy from anywhere who is doing it so that he can leg it out because they're that fast. Lane Thomas, another great example. Because they're that fast that they're trying to get a single out of it, no one's going to complain. No, that's a great move. The whole idea of, you know, everybody calls it analytics. I don't even know if you consider it that.
Playing
it's a really simple idea. I only have 27 outs. Why am I giving some away for free? That's always been the thought of it. I have 27 of these. Why am I handing you a free out?
So do you feel the same way on a sac fly?
No, because the ball is being hit in the air and no one's purposely trying to hit a sac fly to move the runner over. The idea of a sac fly is to
you're trying to hit
home.
The ball up in the air to make sure that your guy scores.
Right, to get a run home.
Yeah.
But you're trying to hit the ball. When you hit the ball in the air, you're hitting it with some level of contact. You're not hitting it lightly. You know, basically saying, okay, I give myself up.
I think you're a little too hung up on this, but we can argue about this off the air. So, because I don't think anybody wants to hear us arguing questions on the air. But, I look at Stephen Vogt, and again, 24 hours ago, what did you think? And then last night, what did you think? Because, you know, like we've said a zillion times before, everyone knows how to cook a steak and everyone knows how to manage a baseball team.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs.
Everybody knows it, right? They all do. Last night, I'm telling you, that was a team that was willing to take a chance to get that extra run in. And, I mean, seriously, all you had to do was hit a fly ball. The guy that just hit a home run, all he had to do was hit a fly ball. And you get the same result. But instead, you get this infusion of energy that you can carry with it, at least until the first inning of next game, to have the you-know-what to be able to steal home on that play. That was, to me, it was our attempted safety.
It was actually cool. Zach Meisel's piece back from August in The Athletic started circulating its way around again, which was he wrote this awesome piece about what's called guards ball. And Stephen Vogt and what goes on in that clubhouse. It was a great job when he wrote it down, and it's starting to circulate around now after that game, because that was the full display of Cleveland Guardian baseball, was during that game of, you know, hey, in this moment here, we're going to do something that's going to probably upset some people, and if it works, we're going to look like geniuses, and if it fails, oh well, but we're going to do it because we're going to keep putting pressure on the defense by hustling hard. We're going to keep putting the ball in play. We're going to keep making you have to work to get us out and work counts and all that kind of stuff, and while we may not be able to beat you all the time with the long ball, we're going to at least have enough power that you got to worry about it. That's what has made this team so much fun the entire year, and I feel like they didn't lose it. They just ran into some bad luck, and it caused some people to hop off the train. And I feel like last night was one of those where you got rewarded for the way that you've been playing, and everybody's back on the train again. And we're heading right down to a game five. I'm excited for this. And this may be an unpopular thought. No matter what happens on Saturday, this season is a success. No matter what happens on Saturday, in my mind, this is a win. You have won this season. That's it. Like, you made the playoffs when everybody counted you out. You went through the starting pitching injuries that you did. I mean, let's face it, for the first time in 12 years?
I got to be honest. Years? I'm listening to this conversation, but I don't want to have it. It's a loser's mentality.
It's not a loser's mentality. It's
the
truth.
Why do I got to sit here and talk about the season was a success? Yeah, let me talk about the season being a success on Monday.
Why do I
care about this today on Friday?
Because the way that I'm laying this out is the way that they
are playing
baseball.
No, you're laying it
out for
if they lose, it's okay. I don't want them to lose.
I don't want them to lose either.
But I'm also saying if they make a major mistake and something goes haywire on Saturday and they get eliminated, that's going to be disappointment. The season might still be a success, and I'll worry about that on Sunday or Monday. But the bottom line is, this is the third time, nothing against you, third time I've heard somebody go, well, no, we're looking at the season, and no matter what, it's a success. Talk to me after the game on Saturday. Let's live for tomorrow, right? I don't want to sit here and dwell on the fact, I'm not preparing myself for them to lose. Yeah, it's been a good season. Want to make it a great season? Keep winning.
Yeah, I agree with you. What I'm saying throughout this entire thing is this, what they have built is not only great for this season, but what has been built is great for the future on top of it. And the arrow is pointing up, and that's the main part of this. And if it continues into an LCS against a Yankee team, let's go. Let's go. I'm in. Because, again, the arrow continues to point up. This game, I felt like in game four, there was a moment in game three where I think for some people the arrow was no longer pointing up. Game four pointed that arrow right back up again.
So I'm watching Yankees-Royals last night, and I'm like, Kansas City's playing this game like they kind of know they have house money and that they're just kind of floating along here.
Well, and they're just...
But the problem is that the Guardians aren't playing with house money. They're the number two seed in the American League, and we're expecting them to beat the wild card team. No matter what history is going to tell you over the last couple of years that, you run up against a hot team, stay hot. Oh, if I see one more Tigers stay hot banner. Please, can we show one more of those? Uncle, we get it. You know, the whole world's not rooting for the Tigers. But I don't want to be satisfied until this thing's over. I can look back at a week from now and say exactly what you said. I'm not doing that in the moment. I want to see where my feet are right now, and that's what I care about. And to sit here and start talking about successful season, unsuccessful, that'll be defined by what happens tomorrow what happens after that.
It's so funny because I look at that and it makes me happier. Like, no matter what happens, it puts a smile on my face. It doesn't put an end to the season. It doesn't put any sadness to it. It's like, this is awesome, and it's going to be awesome for a while. That's what that does to me. That's why I say it that way. is it's not meant to be a slap in the face. It's meant to be, dude, this isn't a fluke. This is legit. And this is legit in an LCS, and this is legit in 2025. Let's freaking go. That's what it does to me.
Bill's in Parma. Bill, fire away, my friend.
What's happening, Bill?
Well, you know, as I said the day before, before the last game, what they should have done was this suicide squeeze with a left-handed starter that was the, you know, the Cy Young guy. And Fry was at the plate at that time, so I think they learned at that time you've got to do something in which at least put a run on the board. Now tomorrow, what they need to do is be aggressive. They've got Detroit a little bit on their back heels. Now they may bring out what's his name, Scruble.
Scruble, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They may bring him out, but he's only going to be pitching for 4 or 5 innings. And
I don't know. If he's hot and we can't hit him, they'll leave him in. He's the best pitcher in the game now.
They're going to ride him like secretary.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Although their bullpen's been impressive. I mean, they've been impressive, but it's, you know, especially for last month. But, yeah, I mean.
Outside of Vest.
But
Vest
so
is the only
so
one.
Is ours. Ours has, no. too.
Yeah, unbelievable. But what I'm hoping is that they are aggressive yesterday. If they get anybody on against Scruble, they really make him field his position. They make these guys do things that they're uncomfortable doing. If you notice last night, that pitcher coming off, he literally wasn't sure what the heck he was supposed to do. There's a hesitation there. And I'll tell you what, Rocchio, who's fast, I kept saying, I saw it on replay, I kept waiting for Rocchio, and all of a sudden, here comes Rocchio. And I was thinking, did he miss the sign? Because that is not your – I mean, that was a little bit even closer than a safety squeeze. And so, I mean, a good suicide squeeze guy walks across home plate. And
That last night, I don't know. I got to go back and compare it. I just
– Yeah. I mean, it's just just a thought. But I just want him to put pressure tomorrow. I'd like to see him try to steal bases. I want him to get this guy off kilter. And, hey, let's hope we win.
All righty. Thank you.
Great team.
Thanks, Bill. Things like stealing third base when they're not watching, I love that stuff.
I do, too. I mean, the amount of times we've seen this team take second base, the amount of time that we've seen this team go from first to third. I mean, it just – that's guards baseball. That's what that piece laid out oh so well, was like, hey, we're going to do everything we can to put pressure on everyone.
All right, not that I really want to bring up this subject, but I'm going to when we come back. Look, if the Browns lose on Sunday, is it a fire sale on Monday? Is it a fire sale on Monday? All the names you know and love, if they lose to the Eagles on Sunday, is that happening? Is that where we are? 216-474-0092, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.